I want to talk to you about freedom from oppression. We jump right into the middle of Acts chapter 10. And we enter into a scene where Peter has been invited by a military man, Cornelius. He is a centurion. He is a lieutenant over 100 soldiers. He's a good man, but he's not born again. He does not know Christ, but he's had a vision. Peter also had a vision, and the two are brought together. And listen to the words of Peter in Acts chapter 10, verse 34. And opening his mouth, Peter said, I most certainly understand it now, that God is not one to show partiality. But in every nation, the man who fears him and does what is right is welcome to him. The word which he sent to the sons of Israel, preaching peace through Jesus Christ, he is Lord of all. You yourselves know the thing which took place throughout all Judea, starting from Galilee after the baptism which John proclaimed. You know of Jesus of Nazareth, how God anointed him with the Holy Spirit and with power, and how he went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil. For God was with him. And we are witnesses of all these things he did both in the land of the Jews in Jerusalem, and they also put him to death by hanging him on a cross. God raised him up on the third day and granted that he should become visible, not to all people, but to witnesses who were chosen beforehand by God. That is to us who ate and drank with him after he arose from the dead. He ordered us to preach to the people and to solemnly to testify that this is the one who has been appointed by God as judge of the living and the dead. Of him all the prophets bear witness that through his name, everyone who believes in him receives forgiveness of sins. Father, how grateful we are for the gift of the forgiveness of sins. Thank you for sending our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. I pray this morning, Holy Spirit, that you would do what no human man can do. Visit the people of God. Heal our wounds. Lord, heal us from all oppression of the adversary and raise us up to fulfill the purpose you have for our life. I ask it, Father, in the name of Jesus, and all God's people shouted. Amen. Freedom from oppression. Look at the dynamics of this passage. It identifies people who are oppressed. May I say to you, as a pastor of 37 years now, I can tell you all the oppressed people are not just out there in the world. There's a lot of God's people who are oppressed. Oppression is on the unsaved and a lot of saved folk. In fact, I submit to you that it's going to be highly unlikely that you ever get through this journey of life without dealing with a matter of oppression. But I'm here to testify there's one greater than that power who can heal you and keep you free in your spirit. So the Spirit identifies people who were oppressed. And then people says, if there's an oppressor, then there has to, if there's oppression, there has to be an oppressor. The force of or power that's causing the oppression. And Peter identifies that source and he calls him the devil. Diabolos is where we get the English word diabolical. There is a diabolical, sinister, evil force released against planet Earth and its humanity to creep into your life any way he can to bring you down and to keep you down in your spirit. There is identified the devil. But then the passage points to the one who is anointed by God to heal all who are oppressed of the devil. Can somebody say amen? Amen. Oppression is more than psychological. It's more than sociological. It's more than economical or physiological. Oppression is a spiritual force of the devil that comes against you to keep you down and discouraged, to keep you fearful and intimidated, to keep you guilt-ridden and condemned, to keep you full of doubt and confused. The devil seeks to rule over as many people as he can. They will be oppressed. But God wants to heal you and to keep you healed that you might be free from oppression. Can somebody say amen? Yeah. Oppress, what does it mean? It means to crush or to burden. By the abuse of power or authority, to burden spiritually or mentally, oppression, the unjust or the cruel exercise of authority of power, a sense of being weighted down. The devil is the diabolical deceiver. He will oppress you and then get you to even justify it. Well, you know what? They don't know what I'm going through, or they wouldn't be so happy in their life. They don't know what I have to deal with, how I've been treated. They don't know the pain that I've had to endure. We may not know, friend, but God knows it. And he sent his son that you don't have to live under the cloud of that the rest of your life. He came that you might be free, and free indeed. Amen. Hallelujah. All the while, when oppression settles in, a person gets more cynical, more sarcastic, and more unbelief begins to take over and push faith out. I love the Message translation of that verse 38. Then Jesus arrived from Nazareth, anointed by God with the Holy Spirit, ready for action. Ooh, I like that. How many know he's ready for action this morning? Jesus, the Son of God, is ready for action by the Holy Spirit to come upon you and flow into you and to heal all manner of oppression from your life. He went through the country helping people and healing everyone who was beaten down by the devil. The oppression, the oppressor who inflicts, but the one who's anointed by God to bring healing. That is the person and the name of Jesus. Oppression often follows and surrounds the trials of life. Too often it's not the trial that brings a person down. It's the oppression that follows the trial. You see, your destiny is greater than your dilemma this morning. And what you're going through right now, my friend, is not the final word about your life. In fact, I'm here to tell you that what the devil has meant for evil, if you won't give in to the oppression, God will step in and turn that around for good. In fact, I want everybody, if you would make this bold and clear declaration with me, everybody raise your right hand, would you, and say it out loud. I may be going through it now, but I'm not breaking down. I'm breaking through. I'm not going under. I will go over. I will live and not die and declare the works of the Lord. If God be for me, who can be against me? I declare it. No weapon, not one, shall prosper against me. The battle's not mine. It belongs to the Lord. He will fight for me, and he always leads me in his triumph. Oh, come on and give him some praise this morning. Hallelujah. Luke is a physician. He's a friend of Paul and traveled with Paul. He wrote the Gospel of Luke and the whole history of the early church. Luke is the only Gentile author of the New Testament. This encounter between Peter and Cornelius is given nearly 70 verses, and it's what God did to change the very growth and transition of the church. It's amazing that both of these men are given visions. And it's Luke's way of letting us know that what God has done had nothing to do with the plan, the agenda, or the power of man. It was simply God orchestrating. I'm here to tell you today, God is at work in your life, both to will and do according to his good pleasure. And only God can do what he plans to do in and through your life. Can somebody say amen? So Cornelius gets this vision. And when he looks, there's an angel there. And the angel basically says, Cornelius, your prayers have been heard. They've ascended up to God. Now, he's a Gentile. He's a Roman on the Roman army payroll. But his heart is towards the things of God. Your prayers have been answered. And your giving, your alms, have ascended up to heaven as a memorial. I just wonder this morning, what would an angel from God say to you that heaven has seen from your life? What would an angel from heaven come and say, God just wanted me to let you know he has seen your prayers and he has noticed your giving. Oh my God. And then the angel says, but he's got more for you, Cornelius. Send for a man who is now in Joppa, 30 miles away. His name is Peter. Send for him. And so he gets a delegation, being a military man. He even sends a soldier with two others. They go, but little did they know that while Cornelius was getting this vision, Peter is at prayer on the roof at the house of a tanner, tanning hides. And as he has a dream and a vision, he sees a sheet coming down from heaven. And in that sheet, there are all manner of unclean animals, which by Jewish law, he was not allowed to eat. And he hears a voice, arise up, kill and eat. But Peter says, oh, no, Lord, I cannot eat that, for it is not fitting for the religion of Moses, the law of Moses, to eat it. God says, what God has cleansed, let no man call unholy. He sees that vision three times. Now, I want you to know something. How can you tell when God's really trying to get you to do something? It just won't leave you. It'll come once. It'll come twice. It'll come three times. And if most of us are that thick-headed, it'll come more than three. Amen. That tugging, that longing, that pulling, you just can't get away from it. Even during the day, it'll just pop into your head. You know what you're supposed to do. And while Peter is getting this revelation, the tanner hollers up, Peter, there's some men here for you. And before Peter gets up, the Holy Spirit said, don't you be alarmed. Go with them without any doubt. Peter goes down, he has his coat, and he walks 30 miles with this man, this delegation. Just think of the faith involved here. Men that he had not known, and even one of them, a Roman centurion, a soldier, not the centurion, but a soldier. Peter obeys God. I mean, you know, sometimes you got to get out of the boat and you got to walk on the water. Sometimes you got to take a step of faith to see God's revelation, what he has for you. Peter gets to Cornelius' house. Cornelius is so excited. He got all of his family, his loved ones. Who knows? Maybe his nieces and his nephews. He just got a crowd of his family together. They were all gathered waiting for this man that God said was going to come. And when Peter comes into his house, into the courtyard, Cornelius bows down. And Peter said, what are you doing, man? Get up. It's not me. Don't worship me. Worship God alone. I'm telling you, throughout your life, there's going to be people that look to you, but you better be very clear and serious about the fact that it's not about you or anybody else. All the glory goes to God. Be sure you give him the glory and give him the honor. Come on, can somebody shout amen? Give God the glory. Now, here's what happens. Cornelius says, Peter, tell us everything God has told you to speak. We are eager to listen. And the words that I just read to you are the words that Peter spoke. If we would have continued, we would have seen something that I long for and have longed for my life. Is that in the midst of Peter's message, here came the Holy Spirit. Cornelius looks over. one of his grandkids begins to shake and tremble. Maybe one of his nieces or his daughter-in-law looks as she begins to speak. The entire family receives salvation. They are all baptized in the Holy Spirit. And the Bible says they all spoke with other tongues as the Spirit of God gave them the unction. Peter and the men that went with him, six other Jewish men, stood there amazed. And Peter concludes, I see it now. God is no respecter of persons. What he did for us 10 years ago in the upper room at Pentecost, he did for the Gentiles right here. Now, chapter 11 of Acts tells the story of Peter being called on the carpet by his Orthodox Jewish believing brethren. Tell us, Peter, why did you go to in that Gentile's house? Why did you stay there a few days afterwards? What's going on with you? Peter says, I can tell you only this. I presented to them the message of Jesus Christ, how God anointed him with the Holy Spirit and with power. He went about doing good. How many know Christianity is a good thing? Our faith is a good thing. Our God is a good God. And wherever God works, there's good things happening. He doesn't beat people down. He lifts people up. He doesn't make people sick. He heals people and sets them free from all oppression. And Peter said, this is what happened. And at the middle of chapter 11 of Acts, all of the Jewish brethren, and what we don't get as Gentiles ourselves, we do not understand how Jewish the early church was. Thousands of Jewish priests came to salvation, followers of Christ, thousands of Jewish people, but it has been stuck as it was an expression of Judaism. But God says, now it's time to let the world know I'm no respecter of persons. I'll pour my forgiveness and my spirit out upon all flesh. Can somebody say amen? And from that moment on, Luke is telling us life was never quite the same because of what God did. Cornelius was a good man, a religious man, but he needed to be born again. He needed the power of the Holy Spirit. Peter was a good man, a spirit-filled man, and yet there was this oppression that he and the Jewish brethren were superior. God did a healing work in all of their hearts. Not only was Cornelius and his family saved, but Peter got a revelation. I see it now. God doesn't respect one face over another face. And that's really what that passage means. So today I want to just speak into your heart for a few moments about staying free from oppression. What do I mean by oppression? Oppression is the imposed domination of one person against another person, in order to control them mentally, emotionally, physically, and most of all, spiritually. In order to stifle their aspirations and limit their potential. To be oppressed is to be dominated or held down or suppressed in such a way as to cause someone to lose initiative to express their potential and reach their God-ordained destiny. Everyone here has been created by God and created with divine potential and destiny. There are things that God has endowed in you in order that you would maximize your ability to be used of Him and fulfill your potential. Oppression seeks to hold that down, to limit you or stifle you, to control you so that you don't reach your potential, so that you are stopped of achieving your calling and your divine assignment. Oppression has one assignment: to limit, subvert, detour, and destroy. But God has a plan for you to be healed from all oppression. Now, oppression can come in many forms and many different levels. We know of political oppression, where the countries have a dictatorship. North Korea, communist bloc countries, the dictator lords it over and tells people what to eat, drink, where to work, how their life will be. But then there is domestic oppression. The pastor was talking to a couple. They hadn't been there very long. They sat down, and the man reached his arm up, and the wife shuddered with fear. The man put his arm around his wife, and he pulled her in. And the pastor knew that that man was oppressing that woman. And she was so fearful of him that even when he would raise his hand, she jumped. There is ethnic oppression. Oppression knows no boundaries. Black, white, Asian, Indian, Hispanic, religious oppression. I'm telling you, sometimes in the denominations of America, we begin to think that we got the corner on revelation and truth. But I'm telling you, if any one group gets too big or too arrogant for their britches, God will pour his spirit out upon all flesh. And before you know it, the people that we thought weren't going to have anything happen are having the joy of the Lord and the power of the Spirit in their life. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Parents can be oppressive to children. Parents can be brutal and controlling. The discipline is not for corrective measure, but to inflict pain. Parents can be oppressive when you call your child stupid or dumb. Joyce Myers, a name that's recognized all over America, was raised by a father that sexually abused her for years. Don't tell me Jesus Christ doesn't do good in your life and bring healing from all oppression. She's a witness of it. The worst kind of oppression is spiritual. Spiritual oppression, to limit, to subverse. The devil imposes his lies. You'll never be free from drugs. You'll never be free from alcohol. Your dreams will never come true. The doors won't ever open for you. But Jesus said, I've come to set the oppressed free. I've come to break the chains. I've come to release the captives. I've stepped into humanity and said, if you want to be free, come to me. And he will heal you and break the chains in your life. And freedom and life begins to pour out. Hallelujah. Oppression is illegitimate bondage that Satan wants to afflict upon you. But redemption has the power to set us free. Hallelujah. God has destined you for freedom, to be free, to live free, to fulfill your destiny. The king of Egypt knew the giftings in Joseph's life. Pharaoh said, there's no one like you, Joseph, in all of Egypt. I'm going to put you in second in command. And there a Jewish boy, the great-grandson of Abraham, the son of Jacob, is promoted. And the Jewish nation in Egypt began to live in the land of Goshen. They prospered and they grew and they multiplied. But then the Bible says that Pharaoh died and another Pharaoh was risen up that knew not Joseph. And as a result, the Bible says that Pharaoh began to oppress the people of Israel. In fact, the Bible says that the oppression was so severe that the people began to cry. And it says in verse 23 of Exodus 2, now it came about in the course of those many days that the king of Egypt died, and the sons of Israel sighed because of the bondage. Oh. They cried out for help because of the bondage that rose up to God. But then verse 9 of chapter 3 says, and now behold, the cry of the sons of Israel has come to me, the Lord says. Furthermore, I have seen the oppression with which the Egyptians are oppressing them. God saw their oppression. He heard their cries, and he raised up a deliverer by the name of Moses. Can I tell you, the Bible says that God would one day raise up a minister or prophet like unto Moses, and his name is the Lord Jesus Christ, and he has come to humanity to set all the captives free, to bring all those that are oppressed out of bondage, to heal us of all oppression and set us free. What's God's opinion towards oppression? Proverbs 14:31, whoever oppresses the poor shows contempt for their maker, but whoever is kind to the needy honors God. He's a minister who is very powerful, and if I mention his name, many of you would know it. But he said when he was a young boy growing up, the circus came to town. And he said he wanted to go so bad, he hounded his folks, and finally his dad said, okay, son, we'll go. So they got in line to go, and in line, it was a long line to wait. There was a family ahead of them that had six kids. They were all very well behaved. They were kind of stair-stepped in their birth order. Their clothes were not new or really fashionable, but they were clean and pressed. As they waited, they got behind that family that was getting their tickets, and he heard the man say, pardon me, what was the price again? They called the price. He turned to his wife. He said, I don't have enough. This minister said his dad did something that changed his life forever. He said, we weren't rich by any means, but my dad reached into his pocket and he dropped two 20s on the ground. He said, oh, excuse me, sir. You must have dropped this. He reached down and he picked it up and he gave it to him. And the man reached his hand out. He said, thank you, sir. Thank you. The pastor said, when I was a boy, I wanted to go to that circus so bad. But he said, my dad took me to a place far greater than the circus. He taught me what it was to be Christ-like, to be godly. When you honor those who are not as economically as strong as you, you honor God. He who gives to the poor lends to the Lord, and the Lord will repay. How many of you know when God repays, it's always with interest? Hallelujah. I'm going to ask our musicians to come. Exodus 23:9, do not oppress a foreigner. You yourselves know how it feels to be foreigners because you were foreigners in Egypt. Deuteronomy 24:14, do not oppress a hired worker who is poor and needy, whether that worker is a fellow Israelite or a foreigner residing in one of your towns. Psalm 62:10, do not trust in oppression or extortion, or put vain hope in stolen goods. Though your riches increase, do not set your heart on them. Ladies and gentlemen, spiritual oppression is real. It is caused by the attacks of the enemy. Satan is cunning and deceptive. Like Peter said, everywhere we went, we witnessed Jesus doing two things. He did good for people, and he healed all who were oppressed of the devil. Every life. He reached out to a prostitute called Mary Magdalene, to a tax collector that was hated by the Jewish people, by a Samaritan woman who had had five failed marriages and was shacked up with a sixth man. Jesus brought healing to lives that were broken. It's like Jesus looks past where you are and who you are, to who you could become, and to where he wants to take you. How many did he heal? All who were oppressed. I like that statement. Luke is a physician. When you study New Testament grammar, you realize that in the gospel and the book of Acts is the highest technical, most sophisticated grammar of Greek. Luke writes it particularly, all those who were oppressed. Ooh, the word were jumped out. I don't know about you, but I still remember when I was oppressed. I don't know about you, but I remember when I was lost, when I was bound, when I had no relationship with God, how empty, how lost I was. I remember. You know, sometimes it's not doing something wrong that brings oppression. It's what you do right. The Bible says many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord, he delivers them out of them all. Jesus said, in this world, you're going to have tribulation. But don't hang your head and get all oppressed about it. Are you going through something today? I'm telling you, don't let the effects of that trial bring a cloud of oppression over you. You have no joy. You're not enjoying life. Everything's a drag and dull. That is the work of the devil. Jesus said, reach up and with courage realize that he has overcome the world. I have overcome the world. You know that word overcome there is in a perfect tense, which means that it encompasses. Jesus said, literally, you could translate it this way. I have overcome the world. I am overcoming the world. And tomorrow, whatever you go through, I will have the victory for you over that. Come unto me and give you rest, and you'll not have a weariness of soul, but you'll be strengthened in your mind and in your spirit. Part of oppression is to wear you down and wear you out. You say, Pastor, don't you ever go through some things? You don't have a clue. All pastors are on the hit list in heaven. Not just senior pastors, all pastors. We deal with it coming and going. But I'm going to draw a line in the sand. The bloodline of Jesus Christ. And no matter what I'm facing, I refuse to be all beat down with oppression. Satan, you're not going to oppress me. I'm a child of a living God. I'm the head and not the tail. I'm above and not beneath. Greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world. And if God be for me, who can be against me? It's a matter of time that the victory manifests. Let's all stand together this morning. If you're here today and you're like Cornelius, you may be a good person. You may have a lot of religious activity in your life, but yet you're not born again. Jesus Christ is here today to give you new life. If you're not born again, if you're not truly saved, if you've not yet given your heart to him, friend, there's always going to be a measure of oppression in your life. But if you come to Jesus today, he will reach inside of you, heal you of all oppression, and a freedom begins to break forth. This morning, you might be here and you say, Pastor, I've been wounded so bad. Some wounds are deep and they need a deep healing. Sometimes I marvel when I hear Joyce Meyer speak and tell of how her dad abused her. How a man who was by God given the responsibility to protect and to provide now is abusing her. How could she come out from that shame and that guilt, that oppression? Because there's one greater than all of that. His name is Jesus. The Bible says in the book of Acts, when God get ready to bring him out from oppression, he provided a lamb. But every family had the responsibility of taking a lamb, sacrificing it, and putting the blood on the doorpost and over the lintel. And every family that took the blood of that lamb, there was a covering, and the oppressor could not keep them anymore. They walked out a free nation, a redeemed people. This morning, there are some here today, you wrestle. You're intimidated. You are fearful. It comes against you that your grandparents had this, your parents had that, an aunt or an uncle. I'm telling you, whatever is in your family line, the blood of Jesus stops it right at your doorstep. It has no right. It has no authority. You are bought by a price, by the blood of the Lamb. The curse has been broken, and you and your children start a new heritage, a new lineage. This morning, I want to encourage you. I just want to pray for you just for a few moments. If
you're here today and you say, Pastor, I need that message. I just felt so down and discouraged lately. I've been going through things. I've been hurt. I'm hounded by this thing of things coming at me that's come against my ancestors. Today, I'm going to draw that bloodline. Today, I'm drawing a bloodline, and I'm saying to the enemy, no more will you oppress me. No more will you intimidate me. My family is covered by the blood of the Lamb. If you want to claim that promise, would you just slip out from where you are right now? Come on.